You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast. Zoneradio.co.za.
This DIY feature is proudly sponsored by Paintsmiths Long Beach. Service and knowledge with pleasure.
I visit Paintsmiths for all things paint and revamp.
I visit Paintsmiths for trade and paint contractor advice.
And we are here for each individual or business in the valley. Service and knowledge with pleasure. Paintsmiths Long Beach. Bulalo Drive, Sunnydale.
It's 10:30 and time for our DIY feature with Mark Shabev, our sponsor from Paintsmith Midas Earthcoat. With Mark this morning, he will be chatting with Chris Jones. And the topic is timber homes and wooden structures. Is that right?
It is indeed, Sue. So nice to see you again.
Yes, welcome back.
First one of the year.
Yes, and welcome to the studio.
Thank you, Chris. Very much. Thank you.
Awesome. Sue, we're going to talk about wooden structures this morning, whether it be an addition to your home, whether it be a Wendy house, whether it be a storage shed. We're seeing more and more of our customers, paint customers, coming in. They've built their own Wendy houses, their own storage sheds, and they need to treat it. So there's a demand out there for people that are now starting to do their own thing. Or they're looking for someone who specializes in doing something like this. Yes. A contractor lays bricks and they do it beautifully, but you've got to specialize in building a wooden structure. It's not the same as building a mortar and brick home.
Yes.
Chris is pretty good at it. Just a little bit of background on who Chris is, where he comes from. I've known Chris for a number of years. Chris used to be a superb panel beater. Motor vehicles.
Really?
In fact, Chris used to be a pain in that his workmanship was of such a high quality that he would often, and I've had two vehicles at Chris, he would often phone me and say, Mark, listen, I'm going to have to redo this. I'm not happy. I'd go through to the spray painting booth, have a look at the vehicle, and as far as I'm concerned, there's nothing wrong with it. And he'd say, no, but you can see it clearly here. I'm afraid, Chris, I can't see it. So you can't see it, but I'm going to redo it anyway. So I'm unhappy with it.
So you are one of a kind guy.
He is one of a kind.
Yeah, I reckon so.
So attention to detail comes from spray painting vehicles, panel beating vehicles. And then I think Chris helped me if I'm right. During COVID, spray painting business, panel beating business came to a grinding halt. And you needed something else.
That was the best day of my life.
Okay, I remember you coming to me and saying to me, I want to start a handyman business. And I said to him, Chris, don't do it. There's thousands of handymen in the valley. Can you remember that conversation?
Yeah, very clear.
There's far too many handymen in the valley.
There's one on every corner.
There is. And I think it's a question if you go on pension or you retire, you open up a handyman. So my advice to Chris was don't do it. Chris ignored that advice, and I'm very pleased he did because he's become incredibly successful.
Yeah, so, that's very interesting because Kevin Jacobs,
yes,
he wanted a Wendy house at the back of his office, and I built it for him, and he just said to everyone, put Chris as a preferred partner on our panel. And from there, I've just boomed. I've grown.
Okay, well, that's superb.
That's awesome. So before we get going, let's put it out there to all our super-duper listeners near and far. This is your chance to ask questions on 072-447-8044. And we've just got someone coming through now. Thank you, Rory.
Didn't take Rory long.
He says, Chris is the best.
Okay, Rory, I agree with you 100%. If you want something that's going to be done properly the first time, Chris is your man to go to. He often, now and again, has to take his own money out of his own pocket because he's unhappy with his workmanship. And I've seen Chris at my own home break down walls and say, I'm not happy with it. I've seen nothing wrong with it, but he's redone it. Let's go and have a look at Wendy houses, wooden structures. You're specializing in it now. You're doing very well.
Yes.
You're building an awesome reputation in the valley for your workmanship.
Yeah.
And the finish is absolutely awesome. I understand from my customers. I haven't seen any of your structures, but I believe they're really good. When you're going to build a Wendy house, let's kind of have a look at the steps that you need to take. Whether it's an add-on to your home, obviously the very, very first thing you're going to have to do is get your local authorities, City of Cape Town, to approve your plans. Don't build a Wendy house or a structure without plans. I've seen Wendy houses and additions having to be broken down or put on hold until you've got plans. So get plans. It's the right thing to do. Get plans.
What do you do when you've – I know years ago you didn't need a plan for Wendy house. So what happens in that case? So you've, your Wendy house is old. It's been there, structured, but you didn't need a plan.
You I don't think – and I'm speaking under correction. Yeah, we're going to have listeners on your WhatsApp now speaking under correction. If your structure is there and there are no plans for it, I don't think you're going to end up with an issue. Where you are going to have an issue is if you put your house on the market – they're then going to scrutinize your plans, and if your Wendy house is not on the plans when you sell your home, you're going to have to add it on.
Yeah, you see, I don't think you need plans for a Wendy house. If it's not planted into the ground, if it's a freestanding structure, it can be also taken down and removed.
Removed, correct. So there's a lot of legalities.
Yeah,
do yourself a favor. For a couple of hundred extra bucks, if it's going to be a big Wendy house, it's going to be cemented into the ground, get yourself plans. Get on the right side of the law.
No, yeah, definitely.
Get on the right side of the law. We've decided now, Chris, we're going to build a Wendy house. Our little storage shed has got too big, too small. Where do we start? And I think that the very first place we start is choosing a location for this and leveling your ground.
That's correct, yeah. So, like I say, if you've got plans in front of you, obviously, if the plan says 700 or 701 away from the walls, you need to get that. You need to measure that out properly.
You don't want to get your neighbors upset.
Yeah. Then what I normally do is I would build the frame on the floor.
Okay. So before we get to the frame on the floor, let's have a look at leveling your ground, preparing your ground where your Wendy house is going to be positioned. So obviously get that flat as you possibly can.
As possibly could, yes, yeah.
And a good tip. Again, correct me if I'm wrong, get rid of the weeds, get rid of the grass, get rid of any of the green stuff you've got growing underneath it. Use a weed killer or whatever to make sure there's no growth, no green growth underneath that Wendy house.
That's correct, yes.
So we've got it now perfectly level, backbreaking work. Where do we go to from there?
A lot of people line up and plant their 120 mil machine gun poles.
And that's for your corner. That's your structure, right?
That's your structure, yeah. So they're normally supposed to be about 2.6 away from each other apart.
Okay.
But what I normally do is I build the frame on the floor. I get everything 100% squared up. I do your 3, 4, 5 measurement.
That's a very handy measurement, and I'm sure there's a lot of people that know it. But if you want to get a right angle on anything, you use the 3, 4, 5 method.
Yeah.
And that's 3 feet in, measure 3 feet in on your one beam, 4 foot on your other beam,
and
across should be 5 foot.
Yeah.
You then know that your structure is exactly 90 degrees.
Yeah.
So, yes, now you've built your, when you say your frame, you're talking specifically your floor frame.
Yeah.
So you've built that on a level surface, so you know your frame is now, number one, 100% square. And number two, 100% level.
Yes. So there's two different ways of doing it. A lot of people first plant their poles, get that all lined up, and then they would start putting the big beams on the outside. But I've had a case before where we do plant the poles, and one's gone a little bit skew.
If you're dealing with round poles,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah. So you know, a mill or two could really affect your beam. So I prefer doing the square on the floor. I take wood, I jack it up to the right height. Supposed to be 450 from the ground to the bottom of your first 228x50 beam, then it'll probably be like 600 from the ground to the floor level.
Okay, so what you've now done is you've built on a flat surface, you've built the, let's call it the floor plan, for want of a better word.
Yes.
Inside that floor plan, you're now going to plant your poles. Your floor plan has been raised by 600.
Correct.
You plant your poles, and now you know your poles are tight up against your floor plan.
Yes.
Your structure is now 100% square.
So you'd obviously dig 600 by 600 holes, 600 down.
Okay.
You would mix cement.
And maybe, it's your standard
yeah,
cement
19 millimeter stones. Make a nice a nice mixture, compacted nicely in the ground. And then, yeah, so like on the fork, on every pole, you would use a 12 millimeter rod and bolt it nice stainless steel. You'd bolt it properly together.
Okay, so now you've got your poles are standing up 100% vertical. Your floor structure is now in place. It's been bolted with stainless steel bolts to your uprights.
Right through the beam and the...
And your frame.
And the frame, yeah.
You've now got a fairly sturdy structure that you can start to work with already.
Yes, definitely, yes. So.
A quick question, a thought that's crossed my mind now is we've got various poles we can use. Let's take your corner poles. You can either use a 120, 120 mil square piece of pine, treated pine. And when we say treated pine, you've got to use your CCA treated pine. It's got to be your green pine. So if your pine that you're using or that you have purchased is yellow and it looks like pine, it ain't going to last. You've got to use your CCA treated pine, and that stands for chromated copper arsenate, if I remember correctly.
Arsenate, that's correct, yes.
That's going to stop your fungus, it's going to stop your insects, etc.
Yeah.
So you can either use a square one or you can use your gum pole. The advantage of a gum pole, it's a lot cheaper.
And stronger.
And stronger, okay, because your 120 mil square pole, you're going to have machined. So that's going to cost
you. That's very costly. Yes,
yeah. Okay, so we've got our gum poles in, we've got our frame in. Where do we go from there?
So once you've got your frame in, your joists will be 400 apart.
Okay, for the listener's point of view, when you say joist, what is a joist?
It's your cross member beams. So you would put them 400 apart from the one side right through to the other side.
Okay, and that's to give you your strength?
Yeah.
Okay, and those are bolted on or are they nailed on?
Truss hangers at the bottom, and then I normally use L-shaped corner brackets at the top just to give it more, to make it more sturdy.
Okay, awesome. Okay, so at the end of this, you've now built a frame that is going to be incredibly sturdy. And I think what's important in fishhook especially, we've got terrible winds. Today's a prime example. I think we're looking at 40 kilometers an hour today. Your structure has got to be 100% sound. That windy house or that structure, you want it to last your lifetime. It's got to be done properly the first time.
Yeah.
We've now built it. You're going to clad it on the outside. There's various ways we can clad it. We can clad it with pine. You can use Newtek boards. You can use Handy Plank, which is a cement type of board. A little bit different from pine. Pine you can cut with a wood saw. Once you start going the new tech or the handy plank route,
grinder.
That's angle grinder stuff.
Yeah.
But the advantage of that, maybe a little bit more expensive, but you don't have to treat it.
Yeah.
You start going the pine route. I see there's a lot of companies now are starting to import birch. Frightfully expensive. The advantage with birch, I think, is that your wood borer beetles, your rot and your fungus, etc., don't like birch, or birch doesn't like them. So there's an advantage there that birch is going to last you a whole heap longer, and you don't have to treat it continuously.
That's correct, yes.
So, right, we've got our structure, we've got our frames, we've secured it, we know it's 100%, now we're going to clad it. And there's two ways. Let's have a look at cladding it with wood and cladding it with fiberboard strips or a solid clad. Where do we start? Do we start at the top or do we start at the bottom?
Definitely at the bottom, because if you had to start at the top, you're going to have to try slide the next one in underneath it and you might end up breaking it.
Okay, 100%.
So, and you've got to as you go up, you just do a 20 millimeter overhang.
Overhang on each. And you can neaten it up at the top if it's unsightly. You can heat it up with a nice strip cover that goes over the top.
That's correct.
So that's
yes.
pretty yeah. straightforward.
So I'm talking about now. Okay, so we've done the floor. If we're going to use 18 millimeter shutter ply, you've got to treat that as well.
Okay.
As a floor base. After that, you can do your PVC laminate flooring. There's a lot of new stuff on the market.
Okay.
That doesn't swell. Then the following is your wall panels.
That's now on the inside.
That's your actual wall now.
Yes.
So you do frames, and they will be 600 to 600 center.
Okay.
Because of the boards, or 1.2s.
Okay.
So then you obviously then strap the whole structure crisscross.
Okay.
With hoop iron, with the ones with the little holes in it. You'll really crowbar tight. Sometimes if you go too tight, you pull the frame askew.
So that, it's got to be taut.
Yeah. That will make it very sturdy. Then the next thing is your OSB boards.
Okay. Explain.
9mm OSB board. You also have to treat them. You can paint varnish on them. You can paint it with a water-based sealant.
Okay.
Those boards will go around the whole Wendy house or the New Tech house.
On the outside.
On the outside. Now, that alone makes it extremely strong.
Because that's going to add strength to your frame as well.
Yes.
Okay. Is that going to be your finish on your Wendy house or your structure? Or are you going to put something over the top of that?
So, once you've got your board in place, you can maybe use like a Marley under roofing fiber or sheeting. It's like a cloth.
Okay.
You can wrap that nice and tight around it. People also use plastic. And then from there, you can start your cladding.
Okay. And your cladding's got to be treated if you're using wood.
If it's wood cladding, it's got to be treated. But I wouldn't advise wood if you're doing a New Tech home. Rather use the fiber cement panels, the wood grain or the smooth one.
Wood, there's very few people that are working with wood at the moment. And I think the reason is maintenance. We've got awesome products when it comes to treatment of wood. We've got varnishes, we've got wood preservers, etc. But unfortunately, due to the nature of wood, it's got to be maintained every 2 or 3 years. My personal preference is not to use a varnish. A varnish you've got to redo, you've got to scrape the old varnish off, you've got to resand, you've got to reapply. If you use something like a water-based wood preservative, you just paint over the top. There's no sanding. It's a question of cleaning your structure, hosing it down, making sure there's no dust on it, let it dry, put on a wood preservative, and you're ready to go for the next 4 or 5 years.
So what's nice about the New Tech cladding, it's like a house. A cement fiber cement. It's like a house. You can paint your house every 10 years.
And as far as the heat is concerned, does it affect the inside of the home?
No, well, if you use the correct size insulations everywhere and the right padding, it shouldn't be a problem.
You shouldn't be a problem. No. So you're going to insulate between the outside of your Wendy house or your little room and the internal walls of your room with a product similar to Think Pink. You get a cotton product that you that you can stuff in there, and that's going to keep your home very, very cool.
I have a question for you. Hello, David. David says, good morning, Mark. He says, always like hearing you. He said, is there a wood sealer that is environmentally friendly?
All our wood sealers, David, are environmentally friendly.
Lead-free.
Silly question. Yes, no. All the products we have at Paintsmiths are as environmentally friendly as we're going to get them. Your water-based products are environmentally friendly. They're very low in VOCs, your volatile organic compounds. So, yes, gone are the days where you're treating stuff with lead and all sorts of other funnies. The stuff is environmentally friendly. The nice thing is once you apply it to your wood, there's absolutely no smell whatsoever. Because there's very few chemicals. We've got the basics in there, obviously, which has got to be in there. But there's no smell. In the old days, 20 years ago, you paint wood and you can smell it for days afterwards. Now it's all environmentally friendly. You pack it on.
Hope that answers your question, David.
Thanks for the question, David. Your plumbing. I'm now in my little Wendy house. I've got my tools, my workbench, my vise. I want a couple of plug points, and
I want a toilet.
I want a toilet.
A shower.
And I think now we're starting to get away from Wendy House, and I've seen a couple of plans where a Wendy House is a Wendy House, and on the plans it's a Wendy House. There's nothing in it except for a light plug. You go and visit a couple of years later. And Granny is now living in the Wendy house, and all of a sudden there's a toilet in there, there's a basin, there's a little kitchen. So, I think it's just a lot easier to get it through city planning. But I now need an electrician to come in. I need a plumber to come in. And obviously, I don't want unsightly plumbing works on the inside of my home. I want it on in the middle. So I'll do the outside of my Wendy house or my little room. Once I've done that, then I call a plumber in and I call an electrician in.
That's 100% correct. So you obviously first get your infrastructure in place. If that's called your first fix. Okay. Then you would obviously run your wires and conduits, and you can drill through the 114s, lay it all out. Same with the plumbing, down into the foundation.
And it's a lot easier to do it in a wooden home than it is in a brick home. In a brick home, you've got to grind.
Yeah, you've got to start at the bottom first.
Correct. So the preparation's there. Once you've got your plumbing and once your electrics again, you can then close the inside with whatever material you want. Chances are good it's going to be new tech on the inside.
12.5 millimeter runner boards.
And that's going to be there for life. You can paint that any color you want. You can treat it as a normal plastered wall.
100% correct, yes.
We chatted a little bit earlier. Your Wendy house structure ideally has got to be raised off the ground, 400 mil, 450 mil, whatever the
from the ground to the
floor
to the first beam. So, like if it's at the bottom of the 2-8 beam, so your complete height would roughly be about 600.
Okay,
from the floor ground to the floor
Yeah, that's a lot of space underneath there, but you've got electrics underneath there, you've got plumbing underneath there. Obviously, you might not want that to be visible, that gap underneath the home, so you clad it all the way down. If you're going to clad it all the way down on the outside, a very good idea is to build a door in that little 400 mil, 500 mil space.
150% agree. Don't know, you have to, yes. Yeah.
If you want to climb underneath there, you're underneath your wooden structure, you can get to your electrics, you can get to your plumbing, and it's wasted space. It's also like a little hiding spot for things you don't want your wife to see.
Maybe some brandy in the ammo box, you know?
Okay, so as far as roofing is concerned, Chris, what is your experience with roofing? What are your customers utilizing as far as roofing is concerned?
Well, you get a few different products. You get corrugated, you get IBR. So in this case, we're using corrugated roof sheets.
Okay. So once your roof structure's there, it's very, very easy.
It's very easy from there, yeah.
Okay. Soundproofing. I've been in a lot of structures and homes where it can be incredibly noisy if you've come from a brick home. But that also depends on how you've insulated your home. And how solid your structure is.
Definitely, yes. A lot of people take chances that they don't put the OSB boards on. And they would just probably wrap plastic and just clad it and get finished.
And that's where you're going to get your noise coming from.
Exactly, yes. Yeah.
So it shouldn't be too much of a problem, Sue, if it's just a storage shed. But if it's a storage shed, which is going to become Granny's bedroom.
A livable area.
A second bedroom.
That's right. Make sure that you've done it properly in the first place. And obviously, with the winds that we've got here, the rains that we've got here, spend that extra money and do it properly the first time.
Yes.
It's going to be there for decades. A wooden structure is going to be there for a long time, but a new tech structure, it's going to outlive you and your children. If it's done properly the first time.
Totally agree, yeah. Now, if you do the job, do it right.
If you've got plans for that, the chance is very good it's been done by an architect, and an architect is going to have guided you through the process.
So you get the engineer that'll come out before you even do anything to see if he is happy with the structure that you've installed and everything's to spec.
And the nice thing is make friends with your local council inspector,
definitely.
Your building inspector.
When he gets there, you have two cans of Coke ready for him.
The same as the traffic cop on the side of the road. Yeah,
just give him a hamburger.
Your building inspector is critical.
It's very important to have a good relationship with him, so you can move forward or do the process quite easily.
And if you not doing it like it should be done. Your building inspector, if you've got a relationship with him, and it doesn't have to be a close relationship, it just means a friendly hello and treat him with the same respect, yes, as he's going to treat you, he's going to guide you a whole heap more than if you give him hassles.
Of course, he can make your life so difficult.
you're the kind of guy, unfortunately, that is pretty friendly. So
talking about roofing, so you know, once you've put your A-frames on and you have to use hurricane clips, you have to strap it down properly.
Tell our listeners, what's a hurricane clip?
It's a plate that's turned. It looks like a hurricane. So it's twisted, so you can bolt flat this side. On the other side, you can bolt.
And that's there for strength?
Yeah, that's just there for strength.
Is it a requirement?
It's definitely.
Or is it a nice to have?
It's definitely a requirement. You can also use the hoop iron that we spoke about earlier on. You can strap it properly down. On every joint, you strap down. Even your wall panels, you strap it down from just at the bottom of the lip right over to the beam again.
Okay.
It just makes it stronger.
Just by listening to you, Chris, it's not rocket science. However, I think it's planning. If you fail to plan, you're going to fail.
Yeah.
Have a look at what you're going to utilize. If we're looking at a wooden house, let's just go back to what do we use as far as wood is concerned. Make sure your wood is pressure treated. And the way to see whether it's pressure treated, if it has a greenish tinge to it, then you know it's been pressure treated,
yeah,
with chemicals,
yeah, provided. And most of them are SABS stamped, with a red stamp.
Look out for that. There are fly-by-night guys out there that, yeah, are selling wood, and the problem is it's not treated, point number one. And point number two, it's fresh wood. Don't use, I think in the
quality
industry they call it green wood.
Yeah.
If your wood is green and it hasn't been dried in a kiln, with all the power failures we're having, I think these wood suppliers are having problems with kiln drying their wood at the moment.
That's
so
correct,
yeah. It stands outside, it's separated, it's got spaces. Utilize an old wood and not a green wood. Green, yeah, wood you're going to get warping, green wood you're going to get cracking. You've got a lot of moisture in your green wood. Stay away from green wood. If your supplier hasn't got green, yellow wood. yellow green wood. Yellow it's got to be green. And that comes from the copper on the insecticides they put in. But if your wood is fresh, don't use it. Go and have a look for another supplier. Make sure you've got weathered wood's not see the answer. It's got to be old wood. It's got to be dry. The moisture's got to be out. Utilize an older wood. You're going to end up with a whole heap of trouble putting green wood. And it's not the color green. It's the moisture in the content. You put green wood on your home.
That's
you're right, going to end
yes,
up
sir.
With a problem. We've spoken a little bit about soundproofing your home. Rugs. Your furniture, you shouldn't be having furniture in your work area. that's a dead giveaway when you've got leather lounge suites in there. But it all comes down to sealing. Make sure your home is 100% sealed. Make sure your windows and your doors are sealed. Lots of windows. You want light in a wind house.
Yeah.
Put lots of windows in there.
And the best windows to use is actually the aluminium windows, okay, aluminium sliding door.
Do you find it easier to fit than a wooden door, or is it with regard to maintenance?
I think it's also maintenance, you know.
And we don't like doing that. No one likes
swirling windows, swirling doors. They're fine for the first 2 or 3 years.
And cost-wise, what your experience? Is there a big cost difference between a wooden window frame and an aluminium window frame?
If my memory serves me correct, I think the aluminium window frames are getting cheaper.
Are they? I think because they're being utilized, there's a lot more demand,
yes,
for your wooden wood.
100%
yes. You're not going to get your cottage style look at it,
yeah,
your Canadian cabin look, but I think you're right. When it comes to maintenance, wooden window frames, especially when you get to cottage panes, etc.,
yes,
an,
yeah,
absolute nightmare. that's every year you've got to scrape down window frames and varnish and clean.
And window putty, and it goes on and goes on.
Just use aluminium.
Get so with aluminium windows is, what normally breaks in aluminium windows is over to just the hinges. But, I mean, hinges are cheap. You drill it out, you put new ones, put it back.
And they can call you to come and put it in.
Of course, yes.
Okay. Is that it, Sue? That's I'm looking it. At the clock and
time
the,
has
it
has gone
struck
out.
It has struck 12.
I'm only getting started now.
Well, time has run out for us. And Mark, thank you for coming in. And you, Chris, for sharing your expertise and knowledge with
thank
us.
Thank you so very
Do
much.
Do you want to give out your number for us, please, Mark? And for everyone knows. And Chris?
Chris,
as well.
Chris, yeah. Yes. Big Boss Projects.
Yes.
Chris Jones, Big Boss Projects. And your number is?
076-210-8509.
I'll say that again.
076-210-8509.
Give Chris a tinkle. He's a good man.
Well done, Chris. You remembered your number.
thank you.
Have a lekker
day.
Awesome,
Sue. Thank you very much. Thanks a lot.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
That DIY feature was brought to you by Paintsmiths Long Beach. Service and knowledge. With pleasure. I visit Paintsmiths for all things paint and revamp.
I visit Paintsmiths for trade and paint contractor advice.
And we are here for each individual or business in the valley. Service and knowledge. With pleasure. Paintsmiths Long Beach. Bulalo Drive. Sunnydale.